The views and opinions expressed during this broadcast are those of the presenters and are not shared by Jukasa Radio or its affiliations.
Pekka, outlet pass for Rick Nash. Nash now tries to split the defense and walk in. Nice move. Another nice move.
Oh, he scores! Oh,
what a goal! Oh, it doesn't get any better than this.
White 72. White 72. What?
Now it's time for the bullpen with Josh and Bully on Jukasa Radio.
Let's get ready to rumble! It is the bullpen here on Jukasa Radio. Josh, Bully, and Andrew. I gotta redo that intro one day. Maybe include Andrew in it. Or
yeah,
not.
Please.
It's really up to you, Bull.
Like,
you
X. Should... An X.
An X.
Yeah, well, because you can always fill in the blank.
That's true.
No, he's doing a good job.
Josh, we have to have someone. This goes quiet.
We got to have someone to pick on.
Yeah.
And my voice might be a little off today because last
compared
night.
Compared to what?
Someone was partying.
I was at a party for Diane Montour and Boy George, and the Culture Club were singing up their tunes, and I was going right with it. I kind of lost my voice. Not that I had one.
Singing up their tunes.
Can you hit us with one right now?
Yeah, gamma, 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 chameleon.
Nailed it. Perfect.
That didn't take long.
Nailed it.
Hey, like, he was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, very good.
Let me ask you a question. You've seen a lot of things in your life. Best performance you've ever seen in person?
Bruce Springsteen.
That's
1986, born in the USA, Pittsburgh Stadium.
There you go.
That's like prime Bruce.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, like he played like 3.5 hours.
Really?
Yeah, like unbelievable. He doesn't take a break.
No.
He gives everybody else in the band a break. That's where they had that big, the trumpet player, what was it, Clarence?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were unbelievable back then. That's when he was the, I was born in the USA.
Well, that's our show.
Have you seen Springsteen since 86?
I saw him one time. He made a tour and he was doing acoustics. And it was awful. And he started playing, but he never played any of his old stuff.
Okay.
So when you go to see Bruce Springsteen, you want to go see his old stuff.
You want to see the hits.
Yeah.
Andrew, you get to many concerts?
Yeah, I've been to quite a few.
What's the best performance you've ever seen?
It's up there between Drake and Foo Fighters. Two very opposites, but Foo Fighters played for like 2.5 to 3 hours, which was amazing.
That's pretty good.
And Drake was OVO Fest. He had Kanye, Rihanna, Future. Like, everybody was there.
That's
it was unreal. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
But Guns N' Roses last year in Vegas was pretty awesome, too.
That sounds amazing.
I saw Guns N' Roses, not the original band. It was Axl Rose and the boys. Still pretty good, because I've always wanted to see Axl Rose perform. That was at Cobb's Coliseum. We got floor seats.
How long ago was that?
Oh, probably a decade.
Oh, wow.
About 10 years. It was that was really... that he went... Sebastian Bach opened up for Guns N' Roses, so that was pretty good. And then, Axl Rose and the other guys performed for about like 2 hours. I like that one. But best performances I ever seen, Eminem, ooh, Detroit, Comerica Park with Rihanna. That was really good. And Adele.
You seen Adele?
Yeah, best singer.
Slow down. Adele.
The best singer I've ever seen live.
She's unreal.
Like, it's a sports show, isn't it?
Whatever, man.
I went and saw
Adele.
She
can give us a sports
I went and saw Adele.
Hey, she's one of the greatest singers of our generation.
Like, I went and saw Adele.
Yeah, one of the greatest singers of our generation.
Yeah, what did you guys do last night? I went and saw Adele.
You wish.
Like, really?
He saw Boy George. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he saw Boy George at a party up the road.
He was unbelievable.
Up the road. Thanks for thanks for the invite.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's start with...
Jerry knocked it out of the park. Unbelievable.
You guys do parties.
Yeah.
Like no one I've ever met before in my life. My 30th birthday party was spent at home.
We got Adele.
With my family, and we ate pizza and wings. That was the extent of our party.
You had a Hulk Hogan cake, too.
I did have a Hulk Hogan cake. So take that.
Did you get that at Costco?
Take that. No, my mom made it. Oh. Boom, in your face. Don't you feel stupid.
No, I don't.
You should.
Hulk Hogan, did you wear pajamas? Was it a pajama party?
Pajama party? I know you're trying to insult me right now.
He's trying so hard.
He doesn't know what words to use. He doesn't know what part of the vernacular.
Pajamas.
Dodges you
I love it, though. You're right in sync there. You got your Miami Dolphin shirt on.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Dolphin. They let me down. Well, let's start in the NHL. The Toronto Maple Leafs got good news. They got their captain back, and they really need him back in the lineup, as things for the Leafs have been very uneven so far this season. Hyman's reportedly going to be back maybe this weekend. Dermott's back. Is this kind of going to be the turnaround time for Toronto?
No.
Oh, okay.
That was I'm going to tell you right now, until they get rid of that donkey that's running the show. And Babcock.
Never ceases to.
Yeah, 205.
No, listen, I mean, honest to God, like, they didn't improve their hockey team. And when you listen to every press conference, he always talks about Hyman. Like, he's your savior?
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me right now? Come on. And Tavares, I mean, he was out, what, how long was he out?
Tavares?
Two weeks? And he's still got a broken finger, and you see it. They showed the glove there last night. But, I mean, it'll take him a little bit. You see the wide open net he missed? He put it over the net. So, I mean, it'll take his timing back. But he's a big addition. Well, $11 million, you better be.
you better be a big addition for $11 million. Yeah. The Leafs.
You know who actually played well? Nylander actually had his game.
Been picking it up.
Yeah, once a month. Must have been a payday.
Well, you know, it's against the Kings. If you're going to have a bounce back, you should have it against the LA Kings.
The bad
Kings,
teams, though,
the worst. Now, there's team a team that's gone south.
They
look off.
Well, I think that's the problem a lot of teams are running into over the last 10 years with the salary cap stuff, right? You built this really amazing team in the Kings that won titles.
Two,
but then you have to
pay a franchise, yeah.
Like, but then you have to pay guys. You have to pay guys for what they did for you, not what they're going to do.
Yeah. And the thing is, a lot of these guys on this team are getting old.
Yeah.
Like Jeff Carter is still there.
So they got handcuffed with some serious contracts as they felt the need to bring guys back.
Kovalev.
Kovalchuk. Kovalchuk.
Dustin Brown.
Yeah, Dustin Brown's contract is awful.
That's the unfortunate circumstance. Like you're seeing it in Chicago for the last few years. They paid these guys money for what they did, not what they're going to do, and now they're benching Brent Seabrook and that just that unfortunately that is what happens when you win titles. The funny thing is Toronto's already in that situation and it's only going to get worse.
And they haven't won a title.
And they don't have the cup. Yeah, exactly.
They haven't won a dang thing.
So exactly. All I hear for about a month is, well, we can't wait until McDermott's back. I mean, if he's your fifth defenseman. Come on, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, he can't be in your top four. If he's your top four defenseman, you're not going anywhere.
I think he's going to end up being your top four defenseman.
I can make an argument for four.
Because there's a lot.
He wouldn't make half the NHL teams.
There's a lot of disdain for Cody Ceci right now in Leafs land.
Oh, he's terrible. Yeah. He was terrible in Ottawa.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
and they gave him the same money as Gardner.
Let's take him and give him $5 million because he's not that good. And then they're nickel and dime. But they had to get rid of Gardner because the fans didn't want him.
And they had to get rid of Zaitsev, and that was the only way they were going to be able to do it.
And the thing is, they're actually having fun over there in Ottawa because there's no pressure on them.
Zero.
Yeah. There's another Leaf over there. Is it Brown?
It's Hainsey.
There's a few Leafs out there.
There's a few, yeah. Tyler Ennis.
Yeah.
He's over there.
The whole Leaf squad's over there.
the
guys who aren't on the team anymore are on Ottawa, basically.
So, you know, if you look at the Leafs right now, I'm not even going to go at these Russian names because you can't have Russians on your team unless it's a
Mikhaev. Mikhaev?
I think it's Mikhaev.
You can't even pronounce half their names there. Come on, there's more.
You struggle with Luongo, so I'm not surprised.
There's more vowels in there than you ever seen in your life.
He also just said Kovalev instead of Kovalchuk.
True, but that's, again, Russian.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was rushing through this statement. That's exactly what I was doing.
Rushing through this.
Choom bang.
Choom bang.
But no, like, listen, you got to admit, though, like, the Leafs, 1-1 going into the third. Everybody's nervous in the whole building.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, they can't lose this game. I mean, they're like, wow, are we sinking this low? Like, LA can't beat hardly anybody.
No. They have 10 points on
the
season.
And Is he finally waking up and saying, we're going to win the game when we play our stud?
Yeah.
You know, who gets the winner? I mean, you know, Matthews gets the winner. And it could be game in because all you got to do is watch the footprint of the Edmonton Oilers.
Yep.
If you could, I bet you half the people couldn't name five guys on that team.
Mm-hmm.
But you name the two.
Yeah.
And they're the top two players in the league at the time.
Yeah.
And that Button, who's been all over the stars of the Leafs, saying that, you know, our Maseratis are stuck in the garage. Well, the guy's got to open the door and let him go. You know, I mean, Dave Tippett's an ex-player who was a defensive player when he played, but very good coach. Everybody speaks highly of him. He gets to Edmonton. He's like, well, we didn't make the playoffs last year. How am I going to look good as a coach, maybe get coach of the year? Oh, you know what? I'm going to play McDavid and Drysdale a lot. You know, I'm going to make a trade for Lucic and get this Neil. I mean, Neil, he's going to end up with 20 goals in the season. He's got, what, 14 now?
Probably, I was going to say way more than 20 the way he's going.
On the third line right now.
Yeah, well, he's got 11 right now.
But he's good on the power.
But then on the power play, exactly, you put him with McDavid and Drysdale.
Well, it's now the trend in hockey, right? All these teams had to pay a lot of money for their young guys. Mm-hmm. So they're playing them all together. So they're loading up their first line. I think Colorado was kind of the originator of this, and everyone thought, okay, this is a bad idea. You should probably spread it a little bit.
Yeah.
But they had that, they loaded up on that first line, and then Boston started doing it, and now you're seeing the trend that all the teams that are doing really well right now to start the season have a front-loaded number one line that has all their big-ticket, big-name players, and they're playing all very well. And the template of it right now is Edmonton and Boston.
Yep. Well, Boston... Pasternak makes $7 million.
Well, yeah.
Less.
Marchand makes less than $7
The combination
million.
Of the three make it like $21 million.
Bergeron.
They make one Leaf player.
Yes.
Like, I mean, you're looking at, well, the best line in hockey.
You're looking at three of the top 25 players, and they're all combined is making $21 million.
All of them, yeah, are under $7 million. Bergeron's at 6.8, Pasternak at 6.6, and Marchand at 6.1. And they're both signed. They're all signed. The earliest one is till 2023, which is Bergeron, the oldest.
And this
one there.
Is why they can start the season with 11 wins and go on a run, have this success because they haven't poured their money onto guys for what they did, but rather what they're going to do.
Well, they for some reason they sell the players on take this money.
Yeah.
We'll get a better team. Kind of the New England Patriots way.
For sure.
And all in Boston.
You know, everybody stays around the same level. Everybody knows who the leaders are in Boston. But you know what? They every year, they're the best line of hockey. Like, they're, you know, he's probably the most consistent centerman over the last decade.
Oh, Patrice. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Marchand, top three left wingers in the game.
One of the best two.
And if Pasternak's not the best right winger in the game right now. I mean,
he's up crazy. There. He's up there.
And, like, everyone in Boston knows this philosophy. Like, Torrey Krug has already said on record that, like, he's fully aware that when he hits free agency in the summer, Boston's not going to give him the most amount of money. They're not going to give him the most term.
No.
But if he wants to keep winning and have a chance to win, he has to make that sacrifice. And everyone bought in. And it started at the top. So Dano Chara bought in. And then Marchand and Bergeron bought in, and it just it's a trickle down effect. When everyone buys in, you can't raise the bar for somebody else. And that's the Toronto situation. The minute you sign Tavares, that should have been your bar, and it shouldn't have been close. And then the next free agent,
Matthews,
here we go. It's Matthews.
Took it over.
You overpaid for a Nylander, so now you're making all these comparisons, and now here we are. You know, they're in salary cap disaster land right now.
A guy like Marchand and Pasternak, they signed for what they did, but they're guaranteed from the organization that you're gonna still play $11 million player minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, these guys never get off the ice.
Never.
Never get off the ice.
And in the playoffs, they might as well just play the whole game.
They never get off the ice. And then they fit in a guy like Coyle.
Yeah, Charlie Coyle, who was a great trade last year at the deadline.
They got a coach that is young.
Bruce Cassidy?
And an ex-player.
Yeah.
You know, and he knows the game. He knows that, you know what, our team is clicks.
Mm-hmm.
And when our big line's moving.
You know, like, they got guys who are obviously on mad contracts now, but, I mean, they're all over in 2 years. That's the scary thing, too, is that Boston could start reloading basically within 2 years and still build around that top line.
Flip that rebuild.
Exactly.
See, they're lucky because Carlo's going to make a lot more money than $900,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's signed for 2 more years at 2.8.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a steal.
Yeah, for the next 2 years.
He'd be number one defenseman in Toronto.
And that's what I mean. Like, when his contract's up, Krejci's up, and he's their highest paid player.
A great example is, if you watch Montreal play at all,
Yeah.
Ben Sherrod, who's a Hamilton boy.
Yep.
Is good friends with all the guys around here. Signs, I think it was $12 million for 4 years. Or no, three years for $12 million. $4 million a year.
It was for Ben Sherrod. He's making $3.5 million for the next 3 years.
Man, he's playing unbelievable.
He's playing great.
He's getting 26 minutes almost a game. You know what? And he fights. It's exactly what Toronto needed. Exactly. A kid that'll stick up for everybody on the team. He'll chip in with his points. And you can see it. Winnipeg misses him.
Yeah.
Like, they miss, you miss toughness.
What is the amount of rope Dubas is giving Babcock? And Shanahan's giving Dubas, because, like, obviously, at some point, Dubas is going to feel the heat. This team isn't performing to whatever expectations. And that might be in a year. That might be in 2 years. That might be in 3 months.
Yeah.
You don't really know. And when he starts feeling that heat, that is when the question is going to be, am I going to fire the head coach and go with my guy?
Now, I wanted to ask this question, too, to you guys. Is it still too early to freak out for a Leaf fan?
No.
So
because
it's, now
they're
it's
promised. They thought this was their year.
Yeah. Okay.
They were that close this year. They thought, free agent, we're going to grab some toughness.
They invested so right. much
money. We're going to get rid of Gardner. Right. We're going to bring in someone this. And I'm looking, I said, what are they? They go to the playground to pick these guys out that don't hit anybody?
Right.
And like this summer, Barry, Muzzin, CeCe, they're all gone. You're going to have to literally rebuild your blue line for
Again.
The third year in a row.
Yeah.
So when does Shanahan, we talked about this last week, when does he, I thought this is his footprint of this team.
I don't think so anymore.
Well, I think he bailed.
Yeah.
And because I know there's big controversy between the general manager and the coach. And there's no way the coach should have more power than the general manager.
Yeah.
Well, he makes probably double his money.
Oh, more than that.
Yeah.
Well, so I want to go back to something that Josh mentioned, looking at it now. All of their defense except Morgan Rielly are free agents this year.
Yeah.
And they have zero cap room as of right now.
Exactly.
So Cody Ceci, we mentioned, Jake Muzzin, Tyson Berry, Travis Dermott, Martin Marincin, I know he's more a depth guy, and Justin
terrible.
Hole as well. All free agents.
Those two last guys, come on.
Yeah, but they're playing.
So, like, okay, let's go under the assumption
you
that.
You have no choice.
I know.
Yeah, like, you're going to go under the assumption that next season you're not going to re-sign any of these guys. Maybe you're going to have Dermott back.
I would say Dermott, and you try to sign Tyson.
You got Liljegren. He's going to be back. He's going to be up. And then Sandin.
He's going to be up. Like, how many times are they going to make these decisions? He's going to make the team this year, and then he's gone.
Same with Sandin. It's been the same thing.
Well, is he going to take a chance on any of these guys?
No. It's the Detroit model, right? You leave them in the minors.
And how's that working for them right now?
Well, it's working out terrible right now. Yeah. That was the old model, was you leave them in the minors, you let them.
Yeah, because you had Nicklas Lidström. Yeah. That was your cornerstone of your whole defense. You know what? Then they bring in that Cromwell. They, you know, they had guys that fit the mold.
Yeah.
You know, and they were so deep, they thought, in defense, they let that Jensen go for nothing to Washington last year. Not a bad defenseman.
Yeah.
I think he'd have been good in Toronto.
I think there's a lot of people that would be good in Toronto right now.
Yeah. Anybody who could skate backwards on the blue line.
How about their third and fourth line?
Yeah.
I mean, when you gotta think that Kerfoot's going to be your top centerman, one of your top centermen, I mean, you're in trouble.
What a downgrade from Kadri, man. I'm sorry.
Like,
come on.
A significant upgrade, but Kadri on most teams is a number two center.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Unfortunately, he's a number three in the Toronto system. So it's like, okay, we have to get a legit number three center that can kind of fill in when we need him to. And then they got an opportunity to get another defenseman that they assumed was going to significantly upgrade that blue line. And it just has not come together. I don't know if it's just the mix of talent isn't working.
They're all the same kind of style.
Yeah, or the pairings just aren't right. But you're right. It is the same style, right? You think about, over the last 15 years, your top blue line pairing, I would say over the last 15 years, and you can disagree with me, is Thomas Caberle and Brian McCabe.
Heck yeah.
And what was it? Brian McCabe was the power play shooter guy, and then Thomas Caberle fed the puck and played defense.
Yeah, he was the QB.
And unfortunately, there are no QBs.
The
problem is that's what Tyson Berry was brought in to do, but you can't take that job away from Rielly.
Yeah, you have two.
Because he had such a great year. So what does he do? Instead of putting the two of them on the power play, he plays four forwards.
Yeah.
Because Marner plays back there.
Now, that worked for Washington like 10 years ago, but that's about
Ovi.
Ovi, Fedorov.
Backstrom. I mean, Obi plays there now. But, yeah. I mean, look at the guy that's playing on the other side of him, the stud, that Carlson.
Yeah.
Oh, John Carlson.
John Carlson. All right. I'm glad you brought that up. John Carlson right now, through 16 games, has 23 points.
Yeah.
7 goals, 16 assists. Where this came from, I have no idea. He's playing 25 minutes a game.
Oh, he's good.
And basically is a locked and loaded Norris candidate if he just stays somewhat on this pace. Like, not even on the exact same pace, but, like, even if he fell off a little bit, he'd still be one of the top scoring defensemen of the year.
The thing is, like, this guy has always been a at least minimum decent defenseman. But I think it really showed was the year they won the cup, like, how important this guy was. Signed him to the big contract, and again, look at him this year. The guy's on fire. Like, well, you can't stop him.
They had probably one of the best offensive defensemen there in Green for the longest time.
Yeah.
And then they brought in, I think, probably the biggest, what, that Shattenkirk was the biggest dud of all of hockey, isn't he? Did he go, I mean, he's terrible.
He got dealt.
Made a lot of money not playing.
He got dealt at the deadline to Washington, and then he went to the
Rangers. And then they got rid of him, and now he's in
Tampa.
Tampa,
for like $1 or $2 million a year.
He poo-pooed the bed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they're really burning it up right now. They're terrible.
Oh, Tampa? Yeah. Tampa's a weird situation.
Because it's, you know, you think when you look at Boston.
Big game Friday, that's all I'm saying.
Hey, Boston has 2 good goalies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, unless Anderson can play 60 games, which you're not going
to
let him.
He shouldn't.
Well, he's going to.
He has to, because he's already made it known out there that this guy can't win the back-to-back.
Yeah.
So.
He definitely can't.
Yeah.
You could add, you don't have to, you can get a backup goalie and pay him 1.5 instead of 700,000. But they
can't.
They can't, because they got no money.
What is the issue with these teams unable to find backup goaltending? Because you do
a tough job.
But you look at Montreal. Montreal's always been able to have 2 goalies on that team. Always.
Well, I mean, it helps when you got Carey Price.
But even before that, like Jose Theodore and Yaroslav Halak were back and forth.
Well, and when Price was young, it was Price and Halak.
Halak, and then I guess Halak's the
secret sauce. I was going to say, I'm noticing something Yaroslav here. Any team that Yaro Halak goes to has a good goaltending.
You know, he's in Boston now, and like that gives them a great 1-2 punch. And the way that the game's played now, it's so fast and it's so it's just so high octane. Your goalie cannot play 60 games anymore.
No.
Well, look at Talbot did it and he was burned out for the last 2 years.
Your number one has to play between like 48 and 55 games, and you have to have not a very good goalie, but you have to have a
sustainable
goalie that can go in there. And you think about what the Islanders did last year and what Carolina did last year. They made it to the playoffs because they had 2 quality goalies that could not steal them a game, but make sure they didn't lose
now,
a game.
Now, it hurt them in the playoffs, but when you look at a regular season basis, it worked perfectly.
The Hurricanes won a cup with 2 goalies.
Don't remind me of that.
Right? Like, that happened. That's a real thing that happened. And
Cam Ward and...
When they went to the Stanley Cup final.
Okay.
It was Urbain and Weeks.
Oh, way before.
Way before. Yeah. Kevin Weeks. Kevin Weeks.
No,
now it's Urbain. Yeah.
Oh, and he's terrible.
They went back. They flipped back and forth for an entire cup run, and then they lost in the finals. But yeah, when they won in the finals.
Cam Ward took over in the playoffs as a rookie. Yeah. It was almost the same thing we saw in St. Louis.
Yeah. You got to have 2. Nowadays, you have to have 2. And unfortunately, like Michael Neuwirth, I think, would have been a good backup goalie.
Oh, absolutely.
But he just couldn't get on the ice.
No.
He just couldn't stay healthy.
No, that's because he's making $705,000. He's $5,000 over their limit.
he makes just a smidge too much money.
He's not a good goalie. I mean, he was 1 of 9 in Philadelphia.
Would he have been better than Sparks? Would he have been better than Hutchinson? Would he have been better than fill in the blank? Like,
yeah.
I think they had a pressing concern with backup goaltending for the last couple of years, and they've yet to address it.
They just keep thinking it's going to fix itself. Yeah.
So the backup goalie in Calgary is Talbot. Yeah. I would take, he's the backup goalie. Oh, wow. Riddick's number one.
I know Riddick.
And Talbot's actually played well for them. I watched
because there's no pressure now.
Yeah, it's a giggle fest. He could have been out of the league.
Bully, before he played for the Oilers, he was the backup in New York.
And he was and loved it.
And Lundqvist went down, and Talbot had to play games, and he played great, and he got a big contract because of it. But he was a career backup goalie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a career backup goalie is guys that can take all the crap. Yeah. They'll stay out late. On the ice, they take all the brunt of the morning skates. They, you know what? and they get along with all the players. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's a tough job. I mean, but if someone told me I was only going to play 15 games and make $1 million, I'd do it.
That's how I always felt about Tom Brady's backup, Brett Favre's backup, and Peyton Manning's backup. I'm like, you guys get millions.
Green Bay have a backup? Because I don't even know who it is.
Is it Kaiser still?
No, Kaiser's gone.
Kaiser's saucy.
Who is Green Bay's back? I have
I'll tell you right now.
I literally
now.
Have no idea. That's
Give
a great question.
Yeah. I mean, because you watch Green Bay. I don't even know if they got one on the bench because all they talk about is Rodgers.
Yeah. I think that's the greatest job in sports is being a backup quarterback for like a good team.
Oh, because you can play your 50.
Who was the one that was with Manning at Denver who he thought he was going into a game and then Manning ran on the field and he threw his helmet? Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
I think, was it Osweiler?
Probably.
Because
they overlapped.
What a biggest dud.
Because they overlapped because they drafted Osweiler with the intent that he'd take over for Manning when Manning retired.
Their backup is Tim Boyle.
Yeah, for sure. Tim
Cricket.
Boyle.
I could be making that name up and none of you would know.
Tim Boyle.
Yeah, like, well.
There you go.
Well, look at it's Buffalo. It's Barkley. Come on, really?
Yeah.
Heck I mean, yeah. If you're going to have a backup, you know who I'm going after right now? Fitzmagic.
Well, trade deadline's over.
I know, but he's the man.
He is the man. We'll talk about the man that's ruining my life right now in a bit. But what's that? You know, I'm kind of like glossing through what's happened this season, and I want to talk about surprises. Because a couple of years ago, we talked quite extensively about the Vegas Golden Knights and how much of a surprise it was that inaugural season, how well they were playing. They were pretty much undefeated at home that whole season. Yeah. It was quite incredible. And every season, there's always something that kind of rears its head and that you're kind of surprised at how well a team is doing or maybe how poorly a team is doing. So a couple teams to highlight. We got the Arizona Coyotes.
They're doing great. We got fun to watch.
We got the Vancouver Canucks.
Yep.
And, you know, the Buffalo Sabres.
A big time.
Edmonton as well, I would put up there.
Obviously.
I think they were underachievers last year.
Yeah, I think Edmonton, it's hard to be surprised by them because they have the best player in the world on their team.
Yeah.
And even, like, I know, like, hockey, it's so hard to have one guy carry you, but when your one guy is that guy.
And then you have another guy beside
him. Who's also pretty good.
Did you know that he only scored one goal in the last seven games? Yeah. And he scored the other night there.
Like, but Drysdale?
No, McDavid. You think he scored every game.
I know. But like, it's unbelievable.
So what's more surprising to you right now, the Coyotes, the Canucks, or the Sabres?
Well, I think the Canucks. Because they're in that rebuilding, because we get a lot more on them in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think people could name five people in Arizona's team.
I honestly tell you one player on the Coyotes.
I mean, Keller.
For me, I was going to say.
Is Galchenyuk still there?
No, he's on Pittsburgh.
I thought he was still in Arizona.
for me, it's Arizona, and I think that's one of the reasons,
Ekman Larson?
Too. Yeah, he's still there.
Okay, cool.
You got that
Derek
right.
Steffen.
Yeah, you're absolutely
Wait,
correct.
Derek Steffen's there?
Derek Steffen's still there, man.
Oh, my God.
He's there.
That Clayton Keller's a good young player. They signed him to a
Jacob contract. Chychrun, the defenseman.
Are they still paying for Pavel Datsyuk?
Who's your goalie?
I think so. And Marian Hossa.
And Chris Pronger?
Ooh, maybe.
Who's Arizona's goalie?
They have, I can tell you in 2 seconds.
Because I know they had Gabrick's contract, Datsyuk's contract, and Pronger's contract.
Because they were under the...
And Hossa.
They didn't want to get charged with luxury.
Yeah, they didn't want to get... Because they hadn't hit the cap four. That helped them.
So they got three goalies. Antti Raanta, Darcy Kemper, who's been their starter this year, and then Eric Comrie, who's their third goalie.
Eric Comrie's the one from Winnipeg.
Young one from Winnipeg, I think, to Buffalo, and then, to Arizona.
Okay.
Like that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, they're gearing up for the inevitability that Austin Matthews will go there.
Hey, man, but they're like, I watched their game against Buffalo, and I was kind of sitting there watching, and I'm like, they're fun. Like, I had fun watching Arizona.
Kate, I'll tell you why.
Go ahead.
Who's your coach?
Rick
Doggett.
There you go.
Some ex-player.
Yeah.
Knows the game.
He was with Pittsburgh as an assistant. They said everyone loved him there.
Yeah, I play with Rick, and good guy. All the guys love him, and he was a hard-nosed player.
Right.
And you're seeing it. The teams that are good, ex-players.
Yeah.
Who is the Vancouver ex-player?
Who is in Vancouver?
Travis Green.
Yeah.
Is it Travis Green?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, Vancouver's fun to watch.
Oh, absolutely.
Got some young talent.
Except that overtime last night.
Pedersen, Besser, Miller.
Did anyone see that? What happened in overtime with them?
What do you think about, what about Quinn Hughes?
Great
He's
player.
Good player.
Good player.
Whoever passed
on him in the draft?
The few, because he went seven?
I think Detroit was one of them, too.
Well, he played in Michigan.
Yeah.
So.
Which was a big surprise.
Yeah, because isn't that where Larkin came from? Michigan?
Yeah.
Or Michigan State. One of them.
One of them.
Yeah.
Dylan Larkin?
Yeah, I think Michigan.
I think it's good. I think it's good that this year, you know, teams are floundering a bit, so you can see other teams move up a bit.
Tell me about it.
the team that kills me.
Because, like, the Sharks are playing bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but they're old.
That team right now is Evander Kane on his own. Like, the dude has been scoring like a madman since he came back from suspension, and they can't win.
You think all that money spent on defense, they'd be able
well,
to...
Well, maybe they knew how to play defense.
Well, yeah, they're all offensive defense.
Exactly. But...
you know what? There's always pressure. They'll make the playoffs, and they'll be...
Go out in the first.
They'll be, it's a team that always seems to stink.
Yeah.
Is Minnesota.
But they've been real bad.
They've been really bad.
Like, I mean...
Like, they blow leads like crazy.
Yeah, but I just see, like, Montreal's entertaining to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because they're young, and they're feisty. You know, I don't think they got a guy over 5'11 on their team, and they... Jeez.
They've always been like that, though.
I mean, small guys.
You know, but,
well, and then it doesn't help the past draft. They took the kid who's like 5'6".
Yeah.
The smallest
size
kid.
Size don't matter, Montreal.
And Winnipeg, it took Lowry to go toe-to-toe with Reeves the other night. Changed them around.
Oh, jeez.
And he did great. Like, it was unbelievable.
Well, it's been a very amusing start to this season, kind of seeing who's in it and who's not. We'll probably most definitely talk about it again next week. Up next, though, we're going to talk a little NFL. Week number 9 finished. Week number 10 starts tomorrow. The fight for number 1 overall continues on. And the Dolphins kind of messed up my plans.
Threw themselves right out of it.
Yeah, threw themselves right out of it. So we'll talk about that coming up next. You're listening to The Bullpen here on Jucasa Radio.
The Bullpen is sponsored by W.J. Heslip, 1030 County Road 20, Hagersville. Do you dare to enter the bullpen? Have your say. Call in Wednesdays at 2 on Jucasa Radio.
And now, back to the bullpen with Josh and Bully on Jucasa Radio. You have 4 takeaways.
You have 4 takeaways. It's the bullpen here on Jucasa Radio. Josh, Bully, and Andrew with you in studio. Talk a little NFL right now as the battle for... last place rages on. Big game over the weekend between Miami and the Jets. It was a revenge game, if you will. Fitzpatrick playing one of his many former teams. And Adam Gase, the former coach of the Miami Dolphins, taking on his former team. It just looked like after the game was said and done that Coach Brian Flores has the attention of his team. And Adam Gase has lost complete control of his.
Adam Gase as a head coach still baffles me. I'm throwing that out there. I don't think he's a head coach.
So Adam Gase's reputation is built on what he did with Peyton Manning during his time in Denver. Mm-hmm. He's the reason why the Dolphins got Jay Cutler.
Oh, great start.
He is apparently the quarterback whisperer. I've noticed that Sam Darnold is getting worse.
So my question is he the reason Sam Darnold is seeing ghosts?
I think you might be correct.
Yeah, because
So you had this belief that when Darnold came back from mono, mm-hmm. and they just absolutely ripped through the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
This is going to be a 500 team probably to end the season.
Well, even the first game of the season against the Bills, I was like, this looks like a decent team
forward. They got a nice roster of guys, and they got the weapons. They got Le'Veon Bell.
They got C.J. Mosley
on defense. God, the bottom has completely fallen off to the point where they lost to a team that's trying to lose.
Oh. Well, you know, the bottom's fallen out when a week before the trade deadline, all these guys that was going to take them to the promised land, they had them up for trade.
Jamal Adams, Robbie Anderson.
That's like throwing in the...
They traded Leonard Williams, the former first-round pick. They traded him to the Giants, who are also terrible.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting to see this fight for last place right now. I've never seen teams try so hard to lose.
And be this bad.
Yeah, but I don't think they told Fitzmagic that. Because he was on fire.
You can't tell Fitzmagic that.
He's been playing fine.
So the Dolphins are still the favorites to finish last.
Well, see, I think Washington.
Congrats.
I think Washington might be.
They're up.
They're pretty bad. But since he just benched Andy Dalton, They're starting Ryan Finley, the rookie. He might be able to eke out a win or two by accident. Yeah. Because
AJ Green's supposed to be back, too.
AJ Green's supposed to come back. The real problem with Cincy is their offensive line's so bad that no one plays the run. Mm-hmm. You play the pass. You just Dalton try and beat us. Because they only have to rush four to stop the run.
Right
now against Cincy. Because Cincy's offensive line just doesn't exist. Like, Joe Mixon's had a terrible season.
Well, and it's because he can't do anything. Like, the second he gets the ball, there's three guys in his face.
I think I saw a game he had 10 carries for 2 yards.
Yeah.
Like, that's how bad it is right now for Cincy.
Sorry, I can almost swear that he's still coaching that guy.
Marvin Lewis? Oh, my God.
my days watching Cincy, Boomer, size, it was awesome, right? And he always liked their team because I think, Ozzie Newsome, wasn't he the GM there for a while, or was it Cleveland?
Ozzie was the GM of Baltimore.
Yeah, well, they're not batting.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
His last draft pick was Lamar Jackson.
So that's
before he retired.
That's all right.
You mean Michael Vick?
Essentially.
Yeah, same kind of player.
Michael Vick had a better cannon, but.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Man, Michael Vick.
But there's Jackson.
Mike Vick would break his receiver's fingers.
Yeah, but this guy can fly.
Oh, yeah. He's a running back.
He's got
like 600 yards rushing this season.
We're talking about Washington.
Crazy.
I'm watching the Washington game there, and they're going.
Against the Bills.
That's that Hastings there from Ohio State.
Yeah.
He never leaves the pocket.
Dwayne Haskins.
He can't run.
Dwayne Haskins has no athleticism whatsoever.
No. Like, he ran once, and it was the slowest
Dwayne Haskins seen. Is Jamarcus Russell.
Oh.
He lasted a long time.
Yeah. I'm going to throw that out there. I think Dwayne Haskins is either a poor man's Byron Leftwich or he's Jamarcus Russell. Because neither of those guys were very mobile. Jamarcus Russell had a bit stronger of an arm. And Byron Leftwich was a really great leader. But they weren't good quarterbacks by any means.
Yeah.
So here we go, though. Here's the thing we're talking about. This is the battle for the last pick in the draft. Or the first pick in the draft. The top five teams available to win this pick. Cincy, Miami, Jets, Washington, and Atlanta. Atlanta's already invested a lot of money in Matt Ryan.
Yes.
That contract ain't going up anytime soon. Washington drafted Dwayne Haskins. Jets drafted Sam Darnold. I would have to believe that if one of those three teams is first overall, they are not picking a quarterback.
No.
And even if they're in the top five, they're not picking any of the quarterbacks that are going to be available.
Yeah, but you know what? We said that, and look what Arizona did. I mean, he was a young quarterback. I mean, he had 1 year. They burned him out.
Yeah.
And then they brought in.
They drafted Rosen, then drafted Kyler Murray.
And Kyler Murray's been playing pretty well for
them. I don't know. Like, my opinion's always been this. I don't want to draft Tua. I'd rather draft Chase Young and then draft a quarterback with one of your other two first-round picks.
Yeah, because, again, you still have the likes of Hurts.
I would rather roll the dice on Burrow or Hurts or Herbert or Fromm.
As long as you have Chase Young.
And try them while I have this generational rush end.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I'm garbage again, I'll just get Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
You know, it's funny because if you're watching the way the NFL is going right now,
run.
You're best off to be an offensive lineman because if you're good, you're going to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because that's the spot to be.
The offensive linemen are so integral right now for the league because the quarterbacks are so mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Like even Aaron Rodgers is quite mobile.
Oh, he moved.
He's deceptive.
He's always hurt. He fakes it. I can't stand him. I can't stand him.
That's such a Lions fan.
Oh, yeah. That was the biggest Lions fan answer.
He's so fake.
So let's talk about Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson just did something that no one has ever done before. And let me tell you what that is. Lamar Jackson is the first quarterback under the age of 25 to beat Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. Ever.
Well, he didn't just beat them.
He ran through them.
Yeah, he literally destroyed them.
So Lamar Jackson, think about that. Of all the quarterbacks that have, you know, phenom rookies that have come in over the last 20 years.
A lot of them.
None of them have been able to beat Bill Belichick until they were about 24, 25 years old.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is second season, who, when he was drafted, was told, he should probably play receiver, is now a contender to be the MVP. I think it's Russell Wilson's to lose. But he's done something that...
Really?
It's Russell Wilson's to lose. Russell Wilson's winning games single-handedly by himself. The team's trash.
His best receiver is Tyler Lockett.
That defense is so bad in Seattle. It's a miracle.
They always win. They kill me in pro lines.
Because Russell Wilson is a dynamo. But Lamar Jackson's doing something. It's so weird. He's coming into the league much like Kaepernick did, where he just kind of took the league and carried it. And Vic's the same thing. If he can just be a consistent passer and not give the ball away, this is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime career. But the problem is there is a history of guys like him. Mobile,
hurt,
fast, they get hurt. And it's not that they get hurt consistently. It's they get their run of 2-3 years, mm-hmm. then they blow out the knee.
Yeah.
The minute they blow out that knee, it goes downhill. And I don't know if Lamar Jackson's going to be the outlier in this, but it's been fun to watch him this season and what he's been able to do with one of the greatest rushing attacks in the history of the NFL statistically.
Right.
And they beat New England.
Yeah.
That's convincingly. Amazing.
And all they talked about was New England's got the world records on for defense, and they just destroyed that team. Mm-hmm. Literally destroyed them.
Oh, they're the best defense in the NFL. No, undisputed, the best defense in the NFL was the New England Patriots up until
that game
on Sunday night.
Lamar Jackson picked them apart. That whole team, nonetheless, picked them apart.
San Fran's a good team, guys.
Okay,
defense too.
That's the last thing I kind of wanted to touch on was the fact that the San Francisco 49ers are the only undefeated team left in the NFL.
Yeah.
I would have never predicted that.
So you want to talk crazy too? Who's their number one receiver right now?
Emmanuel Sanders.
Crazy. And Jimmy G is making that work.
That they just got.
And before him, who was it? Pettis? Goodwin?
I'd say Kittle.
Yeah, George Kittle, yeah.
The tight end?
Yeah, but he gets a lot of throws.
Yeah.
He's good.
So
Kittle's good.
Yeah, yeah. I think.
Okay. No, I'm not taking anything away.
I think San Francisco's schedule was a little soft to start, but now we're into the second half of the season. They got Seattle next week.
Yeah, they win that easy. San Fran. They're good.
Russell,
they're young.
Russell their Wilson's front, their playing front line out his is mind.
But their front San line Fran is amazing.
San Fran is good, man.
So
I'm telling you.
They got Seattle. San Fran, Green Bay is going to be awesome. San Fran, Baltimore is going to be awesome. San Fran, New Orleans is going to be awesome. Woo. There are some great matchups for San Francisco. This is where we're going to get the gauge of
how good they are.
What's their record now?
8-0.
So they need to win 2 games the rest of the year to make the playoffs.
I'd say like 1.
No, you got to go 10.
Yeah, you got to go 10. But in the NFC, teams have made it being 7-9. Seattle's done it a couple times, being 7-9 and making the playoffs.
But
it is kind of amazing that San Francisco's 8-0. Jimmy G's not playing crazy.
Out, no, he's playing just good.
He's not losing games. Their running attack is Matt Breida. And Tevin Coleman,
he can fly.
And Moser,
that Breida's unbelievable.
Yeah, but like they're not guys. But,
like, look at what's crazy too is we're saying like, oh yeah, their names aren't that good. They're third in points for.
It's crazy
in this league.
It's
and then defense, they're second only behind the Patriots.
It's so underwhelming.
Yeah.
That offense because it's not a big play offense, but they score. They don't give the ball away.
They pound you down,
and that defense shortens the field.
Yeah.
They're young and they're fast.
And Nick Bosa is obviously the rookie.
Oh,
of the
man. He's like, that guy's a stud. Oh, wow. Is awesome. He good?
John Lynch, man. He put together quite the defense.
You know what? Yeah, you add a couple of those defensive older players that,
they still got some legs.
Imagine Patrick Willis was still on this team.
Oh.
So the older guys, they've been there, and they teach these young kids. And that's, you can see San Fran, they come to play. If you're going to beat them, you got to come. Play.
You definitely got to. You got to show up, and I'm very impressed by what's San.
The Giants are way over their record. They're not that good.
The Giants,
the New York Giants. Like, what's their record?
2-7.
Yeah, they're terrible. They might should be with the other team battling for.
Oh, really?
Oh, their Giants are terrible.
Could you imagine if the Giants finished last and they picked a quarterback?
That would be a disaster.
That'd be so funny.
Daniel James, and then they're like, one more.
But
do it again.
Where we all forget about is, how about the number one overall pick that's stinking up the league right now? Cleveland.
Oh, Baker.
Come on, let's be honest. He's not. You got to blame someone there.
I think it's a mixture of Baker, and I think it's Freddie Kitchens. Freddie Kitchens was a terrible hire for the players that you brought in, because you brought in some ballers, but they're ballers with egos wearing $2 million watches. Like, Odell Beckham can play, but he's not getting targeted.
I mean, you can't let him get on the field like
here's
that.
Here's my thing, though. It's like, you know, you could blame Freddie Kitchens as much as you want. The dude's got 7 touchdowns, 12 interceptions.
Oh, he's playing terrible.
He is just chucking the ball wherever he sees anything.
He's terrible,
and he's hoping
right
for
now.
Somebody to get the ball.
Is Freddie Kitchens a one and done this season?
I wouldn't be surprised if they give him a second year.
I think he's a one and done.
That's the thing. Like, I feel like it could happen, but I also won't be shocked.
I think Zach Taylor is a one and done in Cincy.
Really?
I think so. I think it's just like, how do you go back?
See how Finley goes.
How do you go back? Like, how do you go back again after you had?
Who's the stud coach that's out there right now? Who's the stud coach that's out there?
Rex Ryan.
No, there isn't.
Someone that's going to get fired is going to one of those teams.
It's a coordinator.
If Harbaugh comes back to the NFL,
Harbaugh would be the name, right?
Yeah.
See,
selfishly,
I was really hoping that Pittsburgh would be terrible so that Tomlin would get fired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he'd be hired the next day.
Yeah, but I would want him.
That's what he's saying. He would like him in Miami or something.
Yeah, he's a player's coach, but he's got no team.
Brian Flores ain't going to be one and done. But
no.
Adam Gase could be a one and done.
Well, there's a lot more pressure in New York.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't let you live. New York, you have a bad week, you're done.
The Jets spent like $90 million in the offseason, and it's gotten them a 1-7 record.
Well, they build a new stadium?
They didn't bring anything in that sport so far. Coming up, we'll wrap up the show, talk a little hoops, a little NBA. Talk about LeBron. Gotta talk about LeBron.
He's struggling.
Oh, he's struggling so bad right now. So we'll get into that. You're listening to The Bullpen here on Jukasa Radio.
Do you dare to enter the bullpen? Have your say. Call in Wednesdays at 2 on Jukasa Radio. The Bullpen is sponsored by W.J. Heslip, 1030 County Road 20, Hagersville.
And now, back to The Bullpen with Josh and Bully on Jukasa Radio.
I'm losing my self-control.
It's The Bullpen here on Jukasa Radio. Josh, Bully, and Andrew. We got a few minutes left. Talk a little basketball. Talk about LeBron James. LeBron James right now is on a tear, and that Lakers team is looking almost unstoppable. They're 6-1 right now. Kuzma's back in the lineup.
Caruso's playing. My guy.
You see some of the plays with him and Davis the other day.
The chemistry between him and Davis is already coming together quite nicely. LeBron's getting triple doubles every night now. Yeah. I'd be the first to admit that I was like, this Lakers team is not good. This is a playoff team, but there's no way it's a championship team. Mm-hmm. But all things being considered, and the fact if they stay healthy, man, they look really, really good right now. And they are making the most out of guys who are getting their second and third chances. Like Dwight Howard, coming off the bench playing 25 minutes a game.
I couldn't believe it. I was watching the highlights and they said, Dwight Howard. I said, he still plays?
I almost fell out of my chair.
Yeah.
And he's playing on the Lakers again.
Like, again, second stint.
His first time with the Lakers did not go well.
Ugh.
Like Kobe called,
it went well for him for money-wise.
Yeah, but Kobe called him soft, and then he got traded.
That was also supposed to be when they were supposed to get Chris Paul. Then the league was like, the Clippers.
Never mind, not doing that.
I mean, I watched the Lakers the other night, and LeBron. I mean,
that game with him and Luka Doncic?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
How good is that kid?
That kid's amazing.
So I'm watching the Lakers, and I'm sitting there going, they're taking advantage of a weak start of a lot of basketball teams.
Yeah.
You don't get your wins early.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be tough. Because LeBron ever gets a little bit of an injury. Because you got to start resting him sooner or later.
Yeah, he's not going to play all 82.
No.
There's no way.
Because he'll run out of gas.
Well, like, that last run with Cleveland, he just played way too much. And that kind of affected the following year with the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
The body just did not cooperate. And, like, LeBron's going to get the load management treatment. If you have to lose a few games, I think if you stay in the top four and you get home court, at least in the first round, it really doesn't matter.
The Lakers just want to make the playoffs.
Make the playoffs. And guess what? There's a good chance you're playing the Clippers in the playoffs, and that's a home game for both teams.
Yeah.
So it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So let's just
make sure
we
LeBron in the playoffs.
You don't want LeBron in the playoffs. Not if he only plays 65 games, 70 games.
He's going to be like out to prove
something. We saw Kawhi going fresh last year and seeing how good he was. LeBron at 100% being fresh.
So Kawhi's already getting the load management treatment in L.A. We didn't know if that was going to happen. We didn't know if that was part of the negotiations with the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a national TV game against the Milwaukee Bucks, and Kawhi will not be playing. Over, under, Kawhi Leonard starts 68 games for the L.A. Clippers.
Under.
Oh, he's going to be under, but I think it's a joke. If I'm an owner, I'm stepping in. Paying him that money? Come on.
That was probably the owner's...
It's probably the owner's call.
Steve Ballmer probably was like, I'm cool with it.
Because Kawhi and I think even Doc Rivers at the beginning of the year were saying that his load management wasn't going to be a lot. And what, we're 6-7 games in, he's already sat 2 or 3.
That's crazy.
I don't get it. Yeah.
Nah, it's because he won a championship, so the footprint's in.
And then the opposite's happening in Toronto right now. The Raptors are only playing 8 guys a night. And you can make the reasoning being like, okay, they're going for it. They know that they're a little bit thin, so they're playing their best players the most amount of minutes. I personally believe, I think all the new guys they brought in, so Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Stanley Johnson, Matt Thomas, all these guys just have not picked up the defensive schemes. Mm-hmm. So Nick Nurse does not feel comfortable playing him in the games. The only guy that has is Terrence Davis, and even that, he's playing less than 10 minutes. Yeah. So it's just 7 guys playing.
You're riding the guys who were there last
year. It's your 7 guys that have been there already, and Pascal Siakam's already getting foul trouble for stuff, and Nick Nurse has chimed in about that. I'm feeling like Nick Nurse has just got a lot of confidence right now and a lot of swagger after winning that title.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And like his comments with Siakam, like some people are like, isn't that kind of harsh? It's like, no, he's your highest paid player. And the thing is,
if Popovich said that stuff, no one would care.
They would applaud him, exactly. And the thing is, it's like Siakam, and he mentioned it too in the interview.
Wait, what, Sacramento tonight?
Yeah.
And who are they? Who they got, anybody?
Like Buddy
DeMar DeRozan.
No, Sacramento.
Oh, Sacramento Kings. Sorry.
De'Aaron Fox.
Kings and Spurs.
I would make that mistake.
Marvin Bagley. They got guys. They almost made the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
But they're not. But it's the Sacramento Kings.
Boston's playing well, too.
Kemba Walker's playing
Kemba.
Well. Kemba's balling.
How's good. Buddy Irving doing?
Yeah, but they win.
What a disaster already fighting his teammates.
Houston can't win.
Oh, yeah. Well, we knew that. Like, those are two of the biggest egos in basketball on the same team.
And they both kind of like to pass the ball, but not really.
What?
Yeah, Westbrook likes his triple doubles, but he also likes to hawk up 25, 30 times a game.
I was going to say, he's got to get the points and the rebounds before he gets the assists.
Yeah, the assists come last.
Yeah. And then Harden, same thing.
Harden does pass the ball. I think Harden, every time he shoots, he's traveling.
Have you seen his three-point percentage this year?
No.
He's like 20%.
Well, he's just chucking them up.
Yeah, exactly.
He thinks he's going to get on a heater. When he gets on that heater, he's going to ride.
It's not happening.
It's just not happening.
You know, he's the kind of guy that'll win the scoring every year and never win a championship.
Tracy McGrady.
Yeah.
It's just something about him.
Rockets.
Honestly, I don't disagree with that. Like, the James Harden does reek a lot of Tracy McGrady.
Great player.
Elite scorer.
Yeah.
Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
Scorer. It's stylized differently. Like, Harden's more flash, right? More pizzazz. Iverson, right?
Oh, yeah.
All these great scorers who did not pass the ball, who did not play defense, but their teams were always in the mix.
AI was so fun, though, man.
AI was so fun. But, again, AI did not pass the ball. He didn't play defense.
Definitely.
Talk about practice.
Yeah.
Not a game.
Practice.
Before, I know we're getting close to the end of the show. This Sunday, big championship game.
What is it?
Toronto FC.
Oh, yeah.
MLS Cup final.
You know, let's talk that for a sec because I've been watching it.
Yeah.
They look good.
They're fun.
They look good.
Considering what they did with letting go of Sebastian Giovinco.
They've knocked off two top teams.
I'm amazed that they've gotten this far without Altidore. Without Omar Gonzalez?
Yeah.
The center back?
Yeah.
And they're playing Seattle again.
The third time.
The third time in 4 years for the MLS Cup.
They lost the first time.
In penalties.
Beat them the second time. And then they didn't make it last year.
Yeah.
And then here we are again.
They weren't even a playoff team last year.
Ooh. Which was crazy.
Like
they were in a
transition.
They
weren't going to be a playoff team to start of this year either.
No, Pozuelo's
been. Pozuelo came in has lifted that
team. What did you think of Pozuelo's penalty?
The guy's got cojones.
Oh, yeah. The guy's
big.
Got,
you can say cojones. That on there.
You can say stones. You can say cojones.
You can say cojones.
Yeah. But yeah, Pozuelo's got stones on him.
Huge.
What I love about this, though, is if TFC does manage to win the MLS Cup and they go back into this Champions League thing, we're going to spend money again and get somebody.
Oh, yeah.
That's happening. Like, they're going to fork out the cash.
Here's also the interesting thing. Michael Bradley's contract is up after this
game. He's probably going to retire.
You think? No, I don't think so.
You don't think
stud.
So they're talking. Is TFC going to let him go, or are they going to re-sign him? Because the guy's making like $6.5 million. He's one of the highest paid players.
You got to re-sign him. He's
the captain.
He's the name. He's the name in Toronto.
He is the name in Toronto, but you.
I don't know. They let
Toronto fills the building.
You got to take that money. Yeah. If they win again, They are going to invest in players like they did the last time they won. Mm-hmm. They invest in a lot of new players. If they win again, it's happening again.
Is he back for the Sunday?
No, Altidore, they
haven't announced.
No, so Altidore said it will be a minor miracle if he plays on Sunday.
Yeah.
The experts are saying if he does play, it's going to be beyond the 70th minute. If it needs to go into extras, all that stuff, they will probably play Josie the last 20 minutes.
I hope he doesn't have to, because Josie at not 100% is not a good player.
No, he's too big and he's too slow.
Exactly.
Well, I actually look forward to that. Also happening this weekend, LSU's playing Alabama.
Oh, how about that game?
Joe Burrow's against Tua Tagovailoa. We can't talk about it. The show's over. But we'll talk about it next week.
Canadian running back, too.
The Oklahoma running back.
Yeah. He's been so watch that game.
Great weekend for sports. I can't wait to check.
And the Corvairs Sunday home game against Hamilton.
There you go. That was the bullpen. Talk to you tomorrow. Carlos up next for your afternoon drive. And